This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Feels like it's been a very long time. Jan, are you well?
I'm well. It has been a very long time.
And what? Thank you very much. And I'm pretty astounded by the first story we're going to talk about this afternoon. Maybe you can explain to me, in fact, why Eskom is fighting for a 20.5% price increase. I mean, that must be freaking the country out.
Yeah, and it's actually interesting as we learn more about this price increase, exactly what Eskom applied for and all the political wrangling around it. So obviously the energy regulator is trying to fight this thing, and you've got the analysts and politicians who are saying, you know, this is horrible. This is the South African taxpayer and Eskom's customers paying for the mistakes of government and of Eskom itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, Eskom's reasoning is relatively simple in financial terms. Eskom is saying that, listen, we need to service our debt. We can, and as things stand, Eskom can only service about 200 billion rands worth of debt. It's currently standing at 390 odd billion rands of debt. And it broke down a bunch of other costs that affect it. The other thing that it said is that when it first signed up for independent power producers, so a bunch of folks that generate renewable energy privately, those contracts were a lot more expensive than generating its own electricity with coal, but it's signed into those contracts for 20 years. And so those are affecting the price as well. And so Eskom is saying that's the bottom line, is that, you know, that's what it costs it to generate electricity and or rather to pay independent power producers and service its debt. And if the Eskom customer does not pick up the bill at the end of the day, which is all of us here in South Africa, then the taxpayer will, which is a reasonable fraction of us. I think let's call it 10 or 11 million of us in the country that are taxpayers. And then, you know, the shortfall just has to come from a government bailout, because Eskom can't default on its debt. So that's the rock and a hard place that we find ourselves in. It's 20.5% on the electricity tariff, or a government bailout, which comes out of our tax money anyway.
I think you mentioned those words, between a rock and a hard place. I can't see how there is any option but to apply this increase, which is just so incredibly difficult to accept.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially considering, you know, that what we're seeing on the ground, or rather in the developments in energy generation in the country, but also around the world, is just how much cheaper renewable energy is getting. And, you know, we've got all this renewable energy generating capacity in the country coming online and becoming available to Eskom at much cheaper rates. But because it's locked into these 20-year contracts, There's no way around it. These 20 year contracts are from like fairly early, solar power generating, and probably a couple of wind projects that, you know, at the time that they were quite expensive. And so, you know, it makes sense, but to now be paying those tariffs when we could be paying a tenth of those wholesale rates, it's galling, to say the least.
I'm just conscious of time, and I don't want to run out. We've got to leave it at probably about a minute to five, just putting you on notice. But I do want you to weigh in on this issue of the matric results, publishing, not publishing. What have the courts decided? Where are we with this issue?
Yeah, so this was an interesting one. Just to bring everybody up to speed, the Department of Basic Education put out a surprise statement, which I think newspapers and a couple of online publications were caught flat-footed, because this is a tremendous amount of revenue for them every year that suddenly goes up in smoke if they are not allowed to provide matric results on public platforms. And so, yeah, the DBE put out a statement saying that they are acting on advice from the information regulator, that according to the POPIA, which came into full force about the middle of last year, they will no longer be putting students' individual matric results on public platforms. You know, like how we'd always go out and
Absolutely.
Buy the paper.
Yeah.
on the morning and check, you know, we've got all our friends, student numbers or,
sure.
Back when I was studying, or back when I was in school, we could just look up people's names. and you look up how everybody did.
Yeah.
And they were going to drop that, citing Popia. Then the information regulator puts out a clarifying statement, which is a bit confusing, but essentially what they said was, no. What we told the DBE was that they need to be conscious of Popia. They don't have to cancel it completely, but they have to give kids the option to not have this stuff disclosed publicly. And I'm like, okay. Now I understand why the DBE said we're just stopping this because we cannot administer
that's a ridiculous
system at this sort of short notice
to
individually allow students to remove themselves from the public role.
Yeah.
And now, since then, the High Court has ruled, no, this is completely unnecessary. The DBE must publish the individual matriculant results on public platforms like it always has. And the DBE has said that it will abide by the court ruling. It said that a while ago.
Yeah, it didn't oppose it.
So that's where we're standing.
But isn't it fascinating to you, Jan, that you have an information regulator who doesn't understand legislation?
Well, the information regulator looks at its very specific domain, which is Popia, right? And under that, there were probably giving sound advice, but what perhaps was not taken into consideration, which is where the court's interpretation was very valuable, is that nowadays your results don't get published with a full name anymore. They get published next to a student number. So unless you give your student number to your friends and family and whoever else, it's really not possible for people to see how one another did. So there is a layer of anonymity already that I think the court took into account here and said, no, this is now completely extreme, let alone short notice. Go ahead as you always have, please. It looks like the information regulator was perhaps overzealous in this regard, which is not a bad quality to have in a privacy guard.
I've got my own thoughts on that issue, but we'll get to that another day. We've got 2 minutes left. I want you to talk to me about multi-choice.
Sure. So a couple of things are happening. Perhaps we'll go with investors being quite bullish on multi-choice this year because they're saying that for the longest time, the market has only really looked at its South African DStv operations when multi-choice is a lot more than that. And investors are going to realize this year, especially as DStv in South Africa shrinks, that multi-choice also has an African operation, which they said is going to break even this year. So, hopefully that'll start making money for multi-choice, from this year and going forward. And then a whole bunch of other businesses, including Irderto, who do a form of security software that's used in a lot of games, big name video game titles use the, what they call digital rights management software that Irderto does called Denuvo. And that's a massive amount of revenue. And so,
you think it's a buy?
That's what they are saying.
That's what they are saying.
I'm not giving any financial advice if it's one thing I've learned, it's that markets are fickle.
Yeah, and we have to leave it there. We're out of time, but I was just thinking of the exact same thought. Just as well I'm not a portfolio manager because just I would have lost everybody's money by now. That's for sure. Jan, thank you for chatting to me. We'll talk at our usual time next week.
Catch you next week.